Morning, Rog.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Very well, thanks. So here we are, day one, Roland Garros, and tough day for the Aussies, but Jason Kubler is the lone victor.
Yeah, the first round is over 3 days, so that was introduced probably now a decade ago. They decided to throw in the Sunday, and I think it's good. I mean, I actually think the major championships can start on the Saturday, actually. It's weekend of sport, and get an extra day in as well of probably a bit of revenue, some TV viewing as well. People are home on the weekends, or they can get out to the event if they're in the local space. But Jason, it's a story where he's a journeyman on the tennis tour. He's playing in his sixth major as far as getting into the major events. So had to go through qualifying. That's a big result in itself to get through on clay courts there. And he came up against an American, Dennis Kubler, who's a really good young man, but also, again, just a bit of a journeyman, battles in and out of the main draws, as in the main draw this year, but so it doesn't have a lot of weight behind any of his game, hasn't got any big weapons, just a nice, solid player. So it was a really good first-round match-up, and, you know, obviously it was a very tight match, 6-6 and 6, so it could have gone either way, but to get through qualifying, win a round at the French and get into your second round, you'd be pretty excited about that. And he has a chance to play. Probably Cam Norrie from the UK is the number 10 seed and is a left-hander. But it's a good opportunity for him.
Rog, what makes the French so hard for Aussies? Again, obviously playing on clay's a no-brainer. But do we train here in Australia, or do we have a facility where you can prep for the French? Because I feel like it's probably our toughest one.
Yeah, it is. We were originally brought up on the grass, then synthetic grass, then it's a hard court and it's a fast hard court. So shot, and now the courts are a little slower. So what happens is you very much get your skill set's really between zero shots and three and four shots on a clay court. You know, so because the points are over really quickly on clay court, you got to play longer points. The way the ball bounces off the court through different spins and angles is really, that's a different type of tennis IQ as well. And if to put clay courts here in Australia, we just don't have we just don't have the climate for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, to just maintain and keep those courts at European standard, it wouldn't be feasible. It would be virtually probably impossible to do. It would have to be a major shift in your education. So really, the education's overseas. Get over there as early as you can. Try and bed down in some of those places. And if you do, you can improve your tennis skill set because you end up having some different ways to win tennis matches. But it's just brutally hard. Yeah. Outside of that, the physicality, the mental drain and strain on players trying to win this event, like Novak's, like Rafa. Young Alcaraz, who's going to 19-year-old, who's the third favourite. Anyone who's out there trying to win, Ash Barty, when she won here, Sam Stowe. So that it's just physically, mentally, it's pretty grueling. You're just more. You've got to be on more often than you are on a faster surface.
Well, you mentioned Carlos Alcaraz. He got away to a good start.
Yeah, look, he's just one of those players that I just like what he does when he turns up. He just puts it out there on the tennis court. He's one of these young kids that when you watch grow up, that's all he believed in. He was coached like that. He was prepared to make mistakes to improve as well. So when you watched him through 16, 17, 18, now on the tour, he was happy to go after the ball. And I think there's two ways of coaching. There's a protective way and there's a way of actually really going after it and being proactive and then working from there back and learning what a safety net is on a tennis court and how you actually make that. You know, you'd rather be a hitter than a non-hitter. Very hard to sort of to reskill yourself to someone that actually goes after the ball. So, and he's got an attitude that he wants to compete, you know, point every point in and out. So it'll be interesting to see what that looks like, that side of the draw, just because of who it is. Novak trying to defend his 35 at his 35th birthday. It's amazing you're 35 and number one in the world, isn't it? You would not have even thought that would have been the case, but with these champions. But we didn't have a great day on the court for the Aussies with Kokkinakis. I thought was a chance against Ramos Vinolas. He was, you know, he lost in four, but to a very experienced clay court, but someone who he had a really good shot at. Popper and has really been struggling this season in 2022. He played a really experienced Bernini from Italy, who's a former top 10 player in the world. So that was, and Chris O'Connell, who got into the main draw as a special exempt that Tennis Australia do with the French Open. He lost as well. And he's an interesting case. He's trying to secure himself in the top 100 players in the world. And so he's thinking of missing Wimbledon because there are no points attached to it this year and playing some other events so he could get some points and get himself into that top 100 position in the world and secure himself. And it's quite interesting that he's decided to put that on the table, because all day long you'd want to play a major event, you'd want to play at Wimbledon, but he's trying to put his career ahead of now of Wimbledon because they don't have points attached to them.
Now, Jordan Thompson tomorrow has the hardest task in tennis, just about Rafael Nadal on clay, and is $21 head-to-head with Tab. And no price offered for Nadal, because theoretically he's less than $1. But where is Rafa heading into this tournament? We know, of course, of his prowess here at Roland Garros, but a lot of talk about his body and whether he can sustain, obviously, the level at this tournament that he's been able to for so long.
Yeah, good point. Massive unknown, really, for Rafa, in the sense that, not unknown with his history, but generally for a clay court season, he's gobbled up one, two, sometimes three titles on the way leading into Paris, whereas there are no titles near his name. And so there's limited amount of matches, and there's a concern with his body. But I think the adrenaline of Paris and what happens when he walks onto those courts will change things. I don't think, you know, who knows what we see with his body, but he's still going to be, I think, the second favourite. And, I think Novak, I still like Novak as the favourite, just. And I think Rafa is the second. He sits alongside of, and then you've got to put the young 19-year-old outside of that. So, look, for Jordan, is it a tough ask? Yeah, you wouldn't call them impossible ask, but it's about as impossible as you can get, I think, in a sporting matchup, because you need to go to war with some weapons against Nadal, and Jordan's just a great competitor, does a lot of good things, but doesn't have any weapons that can put a dent in Nadal. So it's going to be very much played on Rafa's terms. It's good to get someone in the first round, but I think the way Rafa deals with people right through the course of the draw is a great education tool, because he treats it as if it's his final, the first round, and it's really important for him to play at a high level early in the tournament, in relation to his output. So it's going to be a tough ask. Well, I'm looking forward to watching, so we'll see where that sits. But if you're Jordan, you're pretty excited. You get on Philippe Chatrier at the centre court. You're playing the all-time greatest clay court player in the history of the game. And it's going to be a bit crowded. So I think sometimes you can go, hey, give me that. I'd love to experience that during my career. Instead of actually, you know, so there are times when you'd probably like to experience playing the greats on the big courts, and this is one of them.
What about the ladies' side of the draw? We've got no Ash Barty, but the likes of Tomljanovic, how's she going to go?
Yeah, look, tough ask. She plays Annette Kontaveit, who's the fifth seed from Spain. So really talented player, again, from Spain, brought up on clay. So was Isla, but I just think of just a few too many weapons. Isla hasn't quite found some consistency throughout the course of this year as well. So that's a tough one. Astra Sharma, who I thought might get through her round, lost overnight 7-5 in the third set, had good opportunities. But I really like her game. I think she's a developing athlete from Australia. And Daria Gavrilova Seville, she's calling herself Daria Seville now, who married Luke Seville from Adelaide. She's up as well tonight as well. So we've got a few players in action, and it'll be interesting to see where they sit. We're looking for a couple of we'd like to get a couple of victories, but it's never been the tournament for us in Australia where we've seen some deep runs. It's been a real struggle for us to get there. Obviously, we've had the women who have done amazingly well over here, in Paris. I said over here, but I'm not actually there. I'd like to be there. The interesting thing that went on last night, I'm not sure if you saw it. Coco Gauff, who's a great young player from out of the US, he's going to be a superstar. She had a coaching, there's a whole lot of things, discussions around coaching violations. She had one, a coaching warning given to her from the chair umpire, and it was handled so well for a young woman. She walked up and she just had a quiet conversation with the umpire and said, "Oh, I know what you've done. I accept that, but I actually don't get coaching. There are no hand signals between us, and I've been trying to tell my father since I was eight to stop to not talk to me while I played." and they just had this great interaction where it was really respectful. You know, the umpire said, "Look, I'm just doing my job, what I saw through my lens. So I just wanted to give you a little, you know, just a soft warning." And they just had this really cool interaction where sometimes, obviously, with the emotion of sport, it gets quite heated, and we've seen it in the past. But I just thought the way she handled it just showed she's going to be a star and a real superstar in the game, because she's got this really good quality of handling her emotions under some times of duress.
Thanks so much, Rog. We'll chat in a couple of days.
See you, boys. Have a good day.